Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Football Ramble on this Brian McDermott's birthday. Ooh, Man City, Southampton, Southampton, and Troy Deeney made a hungover Pete Donaldson cry. A boo-hoo, a boo-hoo. Ah, Marcus is dead. And I am here to take his place. He's not really. He's in Mexico. Where was he? Was he in the Azteca or something? Weren't you sort of travelling around?
When the cat's away,
the dog will play.
When the mouse is away, the cats will play.
When Marcus is in Mexico, Pete will host.
On Animal Farm.
Mexico, in many ways. Marxico. Oh, God, I'm in the seat and I'm doing puns.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really tortured play on words.
Yeah.
It's what happens, isn't it?
To us all, mate.
Will you need to stage your intervention?
Oh,
Sort me out.
You've got the pun suppository up your bum because you're in that chair.
How have you been, gentlemen? All right?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Well, let's move on with the show. This is the Football Ramble for the 8th of April, 2019. The FA Cup happened and we got one rather dull match and one really exciting one. I'm going to start with Watford 3, Wolverhampton Wanderers 2. Winning the FA Cup runners medals nice and early.
Yeah, Watford, yeah.
They've got them. They've bagged them.
Guaranteed the FA Cup runners-up medal. It's a great moment.
It's a wonderful moment. Yeah. It was lovely to see Troy Deeney put things in perspective to a certain extent.
What did he say?
Well, he basically sort of made the point that this isn't about Man City. This isn't about who we're facing. This is about Watford.
Yes.
This is about me playing non-league 10 years ago and pinned £10.
Up into jail. Yeah.
Well, he didn't really say that, did he?
No.
He has.
Well, he has. Yeah, he has. But you're right. It was a sort of heartwarming thing to see how much it meant to him. Because before the game, he was quite vocal about how it was just another match.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't prepare in any different way, which I suppose is, you know, testament to...
I'm still going to be
a model pro, despite being very outspoken and...
I'm still going to be blown out my bum by the time it gets to extra time. So don't worry about it.
He's an absolute terror to play against.
Oh, my God,
The guy just... Again, I know I use this analogy a lot, but he is like the Jason Voorhees of football.
Yeah,
he never knows when he's beaten. He keeps coming back.
Yeah. Well, he's sort of like, you always know where he'll be in the 18-yard box, but he will be hurting you in some way.
The physicality of the man.
He is a busy bastard.
Yeah.
I mean, 100 times out of 100, he would score that penalty in that high-pressure situation.
Yes.
You just knew it. Just no way that's going anywhere else.
There's a lot to learn from that, because 93rd or 94th minute or whatever, to equalise an FA Cup semi-final, big stage. And what did he say afterwards? He said, I'll be honest, I just put my head down, smashed it as hard as I could. There's a lesson there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't be mucking about. You're always beating the drum for that, though, aren't you?
Don't be mucking about.
Don't overcomplicate things.
If you're 3-0 up and it's half an hour to go and you've got a penalty, have a bit of fun with it.
Have a bit of fun.
I'm not against that.
Try and pump it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I farted.
Yeah, why not? Do what Perez did that time.
Do you remember? I was going to bring that up. Do you know Arsenal were 1-0 up at that point?
they were
very good back then.
They were, but still.
But so I don't mind the impudence when the occasion suits. But in this situation, if in doubt, do what Troy Deeney did. Speaking of impudent, though, I want not impotent, impudent.
Yes,
I want to talk about Craig Cathcart. I want to talk about Gerard Delafeu's.
I rendered the goalkeeper impotent. I would say
he did.
I have never seen anyone do that with their foot. It was like he unhooked it from his ankle and like sort of slapped the ball.
Which was if Messi did that, everyone would be talking about. Everyone's talking about it.
Can I just say it reminded me of Ronaldinho that time against Chelsea in the Champions League. It just came from nowhere. Yeah.
But to see that and to sort of have the presence of thought and the just how relaxed he looked and it was positive stuff. It was fantastic.
Absolutely, the confidence of that as well made you think, oh, Watford are getting back in this. It's happening. You can feel it happening.
I'm impudent and you, sir, are impotent. That's what he may have said.
Scored with my dueling foot.
It's like he threw a metal glove on the ground beforehand. But I thought it was surprising not to see Delafeu start the game. So obviously he started a bit recently and he's as he proved to be, this kind of mercurial character.
Yeah.
And people have asked questions about his consistency, and perhaps that's why, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to them on their special day, but why he's playing for Watford and perhaps not playing for a bigger team. But it proved to be a sort of masterstroke because clearly what had happened was Gracia had sort of motivated and annoyed Delafeu to the extent where he just couldn't wait to get going. Mm. And once he got on the pitch, he was sort of unplayable. I mean, his second goal, I think probably has to go down as a slight goalkeeper error, but he took it so early that the keeper just didn't have time, did he, to do anything. Couldn't set himself, couldn't get in the right position. Mm. And to show that kind of presence of mind deep into extra time, and from Delafeu's point of view, I thought was really, you know, really impressive.
Yeah. It was. Jimenez's goal I thought was quite decent, but a very tedious bit of VAR. Because he celebrated, obviously, and it was like the defender's left foot that was kind of... If that had been ruled off for offside, I wouldn't necessarily have complained, because it was like... I would have complained.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What you said,
the exact opposite of what I said about 2 seconds ago.
And we've spoken about this so many times, but the advantage he's gaining there is so minimal to basically not exist.
It's in the air. He's doing a volley. Like being on or offside by that amount doesn't really matter. The defender ain't getting a fistful of foot.
No.
you were a big advocate of the mask, presumably, Pete?
Oh, massively. Well, it's Sin Cara's mask, the wrestler in WWE.
Isn't Sin Cara sort of like this kind of token of failure, though? Isn't he known as
Randy Savage.
Didn't the mask have a load of Wolves logos
on it? Oh, yeah, specially made. Yeah.
Right, why the hell is a wrestler wearing that?
Well, Sin Cara, I think, got it made for him because I think he's best friends with him, which is quite cool.
Mexico.
Oh, everyone's a friend.
Lucho Libre. No, everyone's a wrestler.
Everyone's a wrestler.
It might explain his sort of prowess in the air. Because that was a sort of luchador's goal, if ever there is one.
Yeah, high-flying wrestling move.
Would you say it was one of the best semi-finals in recent memory?
Oh, easily.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It's funny because I initially thought that, and I kind of still do think that, but my instinctive reaction was what Jim just said there, as in easily. But we've had some good ones. I mean, Reading came with an extra time of getting to the final against Arsenal in 2015. Chelsea and Spurs duked out a good 4-2 a few years ago. 13-14 was good. You guys remember Hull beat Sheffield United 5-3.
Yeah.
And then lost to Arsenal in extra time with that comeback win. So there's been a few good ones. Did Spurs not get beaten 5-1 by Chelsea a bit before that as well? So there's been some good ones.
I think in contrast to the other side of the draw, I think it was quite an exciting match.
It's like going to watch your favourite band and the warm-up is the worst recording artist you've ever seen.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I think it's the nature of the comeback and the nature of Delafeu's goal being so good. Mm. And also, the mask thing and a lot happened in it. There was a lot of drama.
It's like Noel Gallagher and his high-flying Bird supporting the Smashing Pumpkins and AFI, which is actually happening in North America. Very confusing.
Do you spare any sort of sympathy for Wolves? They've had a good season. They came pretty close. Yeah. They were, 2-0 up with 10 or 11 minutes to go.
I think the thing that we're seeing with Wolves now, though, is we're all expecting them to go into most games they play actually as favourites. But the thing is, the truth of it is their first season in the top flight for a long time. And they are maybe undone sometimes by being a little bit naive. And Watford are one of the canniest sides in the league. And as you say, Troy Deeney personifies a lot of that team in that they don't know when they're beaten, or they almost don't care if they're losing. They're like, all right, come on, let's get the job done. And I think that was, you know, that was what won out in the day.
I had my narrative set up ahead of this. Until,
right. Oh, sorry, mate.
No, not for what you just said, but in terms of the game. As soon as Wolves went 2-0 up, I was kind of thinking, yeah, this sort of makes sense because Wolves are a team who appear to like the big occasion. And it makes sense because they've got experienced top-level pros like Raul Patricio, Gian Martino, these up-and-coming guys who are quite glamorous and who took a backward step to play in the championship and are now loving it. And if you look at their results throughout the season, generally speaking, it does add up. I mean, they've beaten Chelsea in the league. They've drawn against Arsenal away in the league. They've beaten Man United twice this season, I think. They've had some good results against big teams. When they come unstuck, it tends to be, you know, Huddersfield have beaten them twice inexplicably. You wonder whether they can get themselves up for the sort of smaller games. And then they just completely lost. then Watford just sort of turned it around. And so it kind of kiboshed it. But I thought that Watford were fairly good value in the end. And that seems crazy. But when Wolves were 2-0 up, you always got the impression that there was something in it for Watford.
I don't know. Yeah. It's 10 minutes. When this guy, it was like 10 minutes from the end, wasn't it? Pretty much, 79, don't know. And it wasn't. It was an incredibly galvanising goal because it was so special. It was like, well, we just need to put one in now.
Yeah.
And we've got the
and
players to
now
cause
it's on.
Problems
it
in the box.
On, yeah. Mm. And what did you think of the penalty decision, by the way? Pen for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
VAR checked it.
VAR checked it, so it is empirically correct.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I hate VAR. It's rubbish. So on the other side of the coin was obviously Manchester City 1, Brighton and Hove Albion 0. I mean, Man City managing 4 shots on target. Busted flush, lads.
Yeah.
They're done for.
Tired from.
Unbelievable.
Tired from all
one
this,
shot on target for every trophy they're going to win this year.
It was a dirty old match, really.
Yeah.
You would expect Man City to go out there and absolutely hammer them, but they just didn't.
It's good, great finish from Gabriel Jesus. And also that's the squad stepping up because they did look, it was a very professional job they did on Brighton, wasn't it? They didn't seem to sort of, you know, really attack it as they do when they're at their flowing best. But
they did four times.
Exactly. That's far less than you'd expect. But do you think that is just sort of that season management from Guardiola going, look, try and score early and protect that lead and just manage the game properly, control the game properly.
I've got nothing to say about this game.
Brighton didn't
I've got nothing.
Brighton didn't play that badly. And I think a lot of the Brighton fans that I know actually went to Wembley, they actually came back with a smile on their face because they were envisaging a drubbing.
I've actually got something to say, I just remembered. What about
good.
Coming together of Jahan Bak, Shunkar Walker?
Yeah.
That was the flashpoint.
That was a flashpoint.
And
that VAR did not ignite any tinder.
VAR checked that.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all.
It's a red card for you, is it?
Massively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuck his head in there, didn't he?
Very, very strange.
And that could have changed the complexion of the game, could it not? And so, yeah, it was interesting.
About as interesting as that match got, to be
half an hour in, so it could have changed in a big way. But I think if Chris Hughton had been offered, look, there's 20 minutes to go and you're 1-0 down, probably would have taken that. Because as you said, they probably feared a drubbing and it gives them a chance to get something out of the game. And at one point, they had quite a lot of attacking, mercurial, creative players on the pitch at the same time. So they did go for it. And unfortunately, it just never really happened for them.
No, you're not going to get much space at the back against a very mobile Manchester City. Yeah, Pep's team, of course.
I was going to say that Laporte's clearance was another of the very, very few talking points where Brighton came very, very close to getting the ball over the line. A little bit of a goalmouth scramble. It
was a half chance you'd stay still. It still didn't look like it was going anywhere.
Basically, if Gabriel Jesus' goal, which was a decent finish, it would have appeared in the Wolves-Watford game, we probably wouldn't have even mentioned it.
Yeah.
That's how different in terms of spectacle it was. And if you've come all the way down from Manchester to watch that, I suppose you'd be pretty happy because you're in the final, but it'd have been a bit like, meh.
Have you seen the Manchester City home attendances? They all live down here, mate. Don't worry about it.
It's expensive, isn't it,
Pete?
Why do you hate your fellow working class?
What is it against Manchester you've got?
Yeah. I just can't handle anyone, really, most times of the day.
No, well, I've
got hate in my heart.
I can attest to
that. It needs to get out.
It's not just specifically Mancunians, it's the human race.
It's the Mancunian and the humans. So Pep's team still have a shot at the quadruple. Pep, though, talking it down, he says it's never been done before in England. Could you see it happening?
Yeah, can happen. Yeah, of course it can. Yeah. I can see anything that's not ruled out by the accepted laws of science to be possible.
All right, but in a realistic football-based arena.
Well, who have they got? I mean, who have they got in the Champions League, Jim?
Spurs.
They could win that. They could win that easily. Yeah. I'm not saying they will, but they could. They could win the final, pretty straightforward FA Cup. I fancy them to win the league. So they're straight away really looking at a domestic treble because you'd have to back them against Watford in the final, regardless of how pleased we were for Watford to get through. It's just the Champions League where it gets very difficult. If they get past Spurs, which they'll be favourites to do so, it's going to get tough. But then when you're in the semi-final, anything's possible. Look, the odds that's being offered on it, I wouldn't take it. But if any team's going to do it, because you said you've put in the running order. It's never been done in England, but Celtic, Real Madrid and Porto have done it. No Googling. Can you name another team that's done it? Is it Guardiola's Barcelona?
No.
Okay, right.
Interesting.
So I was about to say, well, Guardiola's already done it before. Because I thought it was because they won 5 or 6 in his first season in charge or something.
But weren't a couple of those, I think it was 5 and 6 in his first calendar year. Because I think Super Cups and equivalents.
Okay, right. Okay, fair enough.
Well, I mean, if you need the four, because, I mean, obviously Celtic have done it 5 titles in one season, the European Cup, Scottish First Division, Scottish Cup, Scottish League Cup, and the Glasgow Cup.
That's amazing.
Does that count? Does the Glasgow Cup
it's
count?
It's a trophy, isn't it? It's in the cabinet, I'd imagine.
I think on your watch it does, Pete. Yeah, but I thought that because they won the Copa del Rey, La Liga and the Champions League in his first season in charge, Guardiola, that they would have won some sort of other trophy as well, and that counts.
They could add in.
But yeah, maybe not. I
don't know. They
need to do more tours. Al Ahly, and Sunhae in Hong Kong. Oh, yes, and Santos in Brazil.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would never have got those.
No, Linfield has done 7, but they do enter a lot of competitions. And Arsenal Ladies and Valletta. So there we go. Moving on. We're going to be taking a short ad break, if that's all right with you guys.
Yeah.
No, we'll be back. There'll be some messages. And we'll be back with more messages on our own watch, quite frankly. And we'll have some emails with Jim Campbell. We'll be back in a tick.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
What a screamer that was by me.
Oh, good to hear Alex Mowat.
I love that.
Who's that?
Alex Mowat.
Oh, is it? Okay.
What a screamer by me.
Yeah,
beautiful. Every footballer should have to, review their match when they come off the field, possibly in a haiku.
Well, apparently that used to be the case in sort of like the 50s and stuff like that, where reporters would run on and try and do that.
I mean, they're practically doing that now, to be fair.
I say bring it back.
More of that. Can we have some emails, please, Jim Campbell?
Say I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees!
Ah! You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Bad bees.
Hello. So I've got an email here to kick us off from Nick Aldridge. My friend Jim and I would like to confirm I'm not the Jim in this story, in case that's confusing.
We'll decide in a minute.
Yeah, we'll find
all right,
out.
Okay. My friend Jim and I
fall down some stairs.
No, so it's not me. My friend Jim and I were lucky enough to be given tickets to the Wolves versus Watford semi-final at the weekend.
Oh, this is emails hot off the press.
Absolutely. Jim has a really rare heart condition, and a rich benefactor heard his story and got a massive Wolves fan, Jim, some tickets for the game. The only issue being that the benefactor got confused. Jim isn't a Wolves fan, but a fan of their arch rivals, West Brom. On arriving at Wembley, we found out the tickets were in fact for the 120 Club at Wembley, a crazy expensive part of Club Wembley that we think costs about £1,000. Things got even funnier as Jim was introduced to Wolves legend Steve Ball, and they also tried to introduce us to Tim Sherwood for some reason. But let's
This man's got a heart problem. He shouldn't be introduced to Tim Sherwood.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. But by the sounds of it, they refused it. which I think is wonderful.
There's a line.
No, tried to introduce us to Tim Sherwood.
Do you guys want to meet Tim Sherwood? Not really.
No. Absolutely not.
I'm in the middle
not.
Of my foie gras. Eh? Yeah.
Not with a heart condition.
I'm in the middle of my whole grain.
Jim held it all together until celebrating Troy Deeney's penalty like a maniac in front of a bemused set of incredibly rich people. Yeah. If you could give a shout out to Jim's organ donation campaign, Save 9 Lives, that would be greatly appreciated too. It's all about encouraging people to register as an organ donor. Each person can save the lives of 9 people by donating their organs. Jim has been waiting for a new heart for around 4 years and now has a heart pump, meaning his heart is powered by 9-hour batteries. He's only 23 and has had 3 heart attacks whilst on a waiting list for a new heart. So keep up the work with the show. Good work with the show. It's from Nick Aldridge. Yeah, so we wish you well, Jim.
Yeah.
And do check that out.
I hope you had a lovely day yesterday anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like you enjoyed the end of it very much. Moving on. Hello, Ramblers. With all the recent chat about food throwing, it got me thinking about drink throwing. I went to a guy. I know, Luke, you hate this in particular. Well,
can I just make it clear what I hate particularly?
Yep.
And because I think this might have been misconstrued during last summer. I don't think I made it clear. I don't mind if you're watching your team and a goal is scored and you're so excited, you inadvertently spill your drink. It happens. I'm not going to get precious about it if someone spills some beer on me in the melee and there's limbs everywhere. I get that. It's the thing I don't like, and it came to the fore in the summer of all the videos that were doing the rounds in England's campaign in the World Cup, when people are standing there when, say, Harry Kane's about to take a penalty, holding their beer like they're about to throw it, and then when the goal is scored, throw it.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
No, you
shouldn't be doing that. One, it's a waste of beer. Right?
Mm. That's borderline insane.
There are people who are thirsty for a beer in the world, which I hate. Don't waste it. And two, you just annoy it. It's like this whole thing Pete talks about, centre of attention kind of stuff, which I know is rich coming from us, but genuinely speaking, people...
We built a studio for it.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly. So that's just to make it clear, Jim, I'm not against people's drinks being spilled if it's through sheer joy.
Mm.
I'm not a killjoy in that way.
Or if you've been doing it for 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, listen to this. I went to a game a few years ago with a mate of mine and we sat in the active support section of the home team. I don't know what
support.
That means.
Is that like a kind of like, I'm going to say ghetto.
Yeah.
Problem.
You can be naughty here, but I don't know where that is. But
be naughty here.
Let's call, you know the family
my
section?
My favourite sex club.
The family section.
Yeah.
So the opposite to that.
The opposite.
Yeah.
You're the delinquent section.
Yeah.
We noticed when goals were scored, some fans would throw plastic cups of beer and other alcohol up in the air, meaning nearby fans got sprayed with alcohol. The fans, however, mostly didn't mind until the end of the game. There was a father and her daughter, who would have been around 6 years old, sitting 2 rows in front of us. The daughter found roughly a 3/4 full cup of beer abandoned on a seat and asked her father if she was allowed to throw the beer in the air like the fan she'd witnessed during the game.
Oh.
Without much thought, the father agreed. This would have been fine. However, what the daughter actually did was pour the beer on the head of the fan sitting in front of her. The father at this point was obviously embarrassed and very apologetic to the angry fan who was also trying hard not to hit a little girl. That is from Andrew Applehoff, and that is magnificent.
I kind of endorse that.
Yeah. It's awful.
The guy's been an idiot beforehand.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Oh, what? They poured it on the fan who'd thrown the beer in there?
It does not.
Just,
it does
no,
not
somebody
say
else. Somebody
it's just some fan. It
yeah,
might
just
have.
Some fan.
If it's an innocent bystander, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Oh.
But if it's someone who's been throwing beer around, toast your own medicine.
Indeed.
You should be allowed to set up a, what are those big, long machines that people set up in their front rooms? Oh, God, it's that guy's
Hang
name.
On. Hang on.
Hang on. Whoa, steady.
Jim and I are both looking blankly here.
Is this one for Football Ramble Nights?
A Rube Goldberg machine.
Hang on, mate.
I've
Do you know the
Rube?
You've heard of them? Like they're kind of like machines that are made out of like contraptions and bits of rulers. Give it a Google.
I will.
Bits of rulers and bits of plastic and
what's it called again?
You start off with a ball and you kind of roll it down a little sort of channel.
Oh, it's like Jim. It's like one of those Struble Scramble type things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're kind of so all a million different actions.
Some of them are very impressive,
and some of them are very impressive, and they take years and years to build, and it all just gets destroyed.
For people listening, a machine intentionally designed to perform a simple task in an indirect and overcomplicated fashion.
Yes, and that's how I explained it.
What's the relevance?
It was a Rube Goldberg. If you can set up a really amazing Rube Goldberg machine in the stadium, like in 90 minutes, and the end product is
Troy Deeney penalty.
Is tipping a pint of beer on someone's head? You're allowed to do it. If you're just tipping a pint of beer on someone's head, I'm not having it.
No, fair enough.
It's not fair.
Enough. You've made that very clear.
That was so long-winded. It was kind of like a Rube Goldberg kind of.
And I just explained that, and you're re-explaining it.
Yeah.
A lot of my points are definitely Rube Goldberg-esque.
Yes.
Yeah.
Talking about people turning up and not being fans of whatever team and having to be introduced. Did you see the kids on telly getting introduced with their Man City? scarves around their neck.
No, no.
And I don't think a single one of them was an actual Man City fan. They were going, God. Arsenal, Chelsea, Man City.
What, they've
Man
just been dressed up.
They've just been dressed. They got invited by a player, I can't remember who, but it was just like...
Oh, was it Raheem Sterling?
It was Raheem Sterling, yes. That's right, yeah. It was so weird.
Did you guys see the picture that did the rounds on Twitter of the assistant manager? It just reminded me of it, of Bulgaria.
No.
Who looks, and I know we get this a lot, but he looks exactly like Pete. And I do mean exactly.
Oh, I did see this.
We're going to have to share it on the old Twitter because it is incredible how much he looks like him.
Right.
I mean, I know everyone looks like Pete, but this really does take the biscuit. He looks like you, same age, everything. It's incredible, mate.
I'm Googling assistant manager Bulgaria, and all I'm getting pictures of is... It's Rudolet. I don't know why.
Well, maybe he's just taking the job.
And Keggy, weirdly enough.
I was trying to find it. I'll definitely find it and tweet it. It's remarkable.
Mm. All right. Well, you can do your own homework, people, if you fancy a bit of that. Any more for any more?
Yes, got a couple more. I've got just a quick one to start with. Why is everyone saying City are on for the quadruple? They won the Community Shield as well. Why does nobody count that? It's run by the FA and you get a physical trophy for it. Should be the quintuple. So that's from Oliver Memories Bailey.
I think getting back in touch.
The Community Shield mugs itself off by being a plate, so...
Yeah.
It's not fair, is it?
Well, it's a shield, isn't it?
Sort of.
All right,
is it? I'd like to see someone use it as a shield.
I think it'd be very effective.
What's it going to protect?
Yeah. It'd be pretty heavy, but it'd be quite effective. What do you think a shield is? You do it like that.
Yeah, but you want it a bit bigger than that, wouldn't you?
I think it's pretty weighty.
Yeah. If that was in Skyrim, it would have very little protection.
Would it protect you from Macho Man Randy Savage breathing fire on you, man? Mm.
Or that is a niche reference.
Yeah. Memories, good to hear him getting in touch. Mm. I love memes. Mm.
So I've got one more to finish on. This is not the first time I've emailed The Ramble, but it is the first time I've been sober in doing so. My anxiety disorder goes away when I have alcohol. Testify, brother. Imagine my excitement when I heard that The Ramble Live will make it... make its way across the pond to the US. One slight problem. The closest show to me will be in New York. My question is, if I drive 10 hours from North Carolina to New York to see the show, can I kiss Pete?
Yeah.
I've had all my shots and 2020 is far enough away for me to practice. Even if I can't, I'll still come. Yours in perpetuity, Jason. So what do you think about that, Pete?
We're not going in 2020 for a start, so he's not got as much time as he thinks.
Jim, well, you've got a cold sore at the moment, I believe. Or just a cut or something on your
head. It is a cold sore.
So what if he gets a cold... What if he's got a cold sore when he gives me a kiss? I'm cold sore free.
Right.
I've lived 37 years without getting a cold sore, and I'm really pleased with that fact.
Yeah. Like,
it's on the horizon. I do so much smooching.
Maybe you can make him wear one of those masks that you sometimes see people wearing, like a surgical mask.
So you'll kiss him if he's got a mask on.
If he's got a mask on. You can draw some lips on the mask, it's fine.
I don't know why people are talking about complaining about driving 10 hours to see us in the US, because let's face it, door to door, it's going to take us about 10 hours to get there.
Absolutely.
We're taking a plane.
Yeah, exactly. We don't even get to watch it.
Mm. And also for a lot of the people emailing saying, how come you're not coming here? Or how come you're not coming there? There are more dates going to be announced. And we're not deliberately ignoring your town, apart from you sat on the bus now, looking out the window.
We hear you.
With that old man opposite you. You can't have whatever you want.
Gross.
I would accept certain amounts of feedback about certain geographical locations, but most people are just having a moan. Get in the car, get on the train, come see us. Mm. We'll make it worth your while. We'll buy you a beer.
Yeah, we won't buy them a beer.
No, sorry, we won't. We'll share a
beer. We do some big venues. Come on
now. Yeah.
I want to say a final mention to Jamie Davis, who had his appendix out.
JD, without an A.
As well as seeing his beloved Fulham get relegated recently. And he's described his appendix as a useless bastard and therefore named it Andre Schürrle. So do get better, Jamie.
Shkodran Mustafi.
Yeah. Mm,
call it that. Can you show at thefootballramble.com for emails if you want to get in touch. Jim will be reading them until Marcus is back, I suppose.
From the dead.
In many ways that his appendix has been relegated from out of his body.
Out of his body, exactly.
It has,
Falling through the relegation trapdoor.
Do you get to keep it?
I don't know.
I don't know if you can.
I'd be chewing on that thing like
you would, wouldn't you?
I got to keep my plaster cast when I was a kid.
Did you? And I left that stank.
I forgot about it. I left it at the back of the wardrobe. My mum was not very happy with me.
Mm. Why? Did it stink?
Yeah, I absolutely started to kick up. Yeah, and she was like, where's that come from?
What have you got in your cupboard that smells of old flesh? Disgusting.
I think she was fairly happy with the result because it could have been a lot worse. Yeah, oh, she's an old plaster cast.
Oh, good Lord. Premier League. Back to the Premier League. We had a couple of choice matches. Friday kicked off with a slightly strange football match between Southampton and Liverpool. 10 minutes to go and Liverpool looked to drop points, and then Ryan Bertrand and the Southampton defence had other ideas. Mm. Let Mo Salah have a run at them. Bertrand on Salah actually said before the game, I won't change my preparations. I'm just looking forward to seeing his strengths and seeing his weaknesses and trying to nullify some and exploiting the others. Did he nullify or exploit, Jim?
No, he didn't. He amplified Salah's quality.
Imagine if
you're
the manager and you said, well, so you happy with your preparation? I'm just looking forward to seeing his strengths.
Yeah. I want the best player in the league in that position.
I'm looking forward to watching.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him take his top off with his lovely six pack.
I'm just gutted. I'll only see the back of him.
Well, he saw the front of him. He's backtracking so hard, wasn't he?
But Southampton had Liverpool going for a while. And when they went 1-0 up, there was Shane Long had another chance that he didn't take. He didn't even connect with it properly.
Yeah.
And that could have really changed the complexion of the game, because I understand that Liverpool are always going to be confident of getting goals and they're going to turn things around. And to concede so early, they had a lot of time to
I couldn't
back.
Agree more. If Shane Long had had another seven goes at that, he probably would have put it away, you know.
Listen, I think three goals in 40 appearances are pretty indicative of why he didn't take that second chance, because he's really going to be on average waiting another 12 games before he scores another one. But had they scored the second, I think it would have made it a lot more of an open game, because Liverpool would have had to have pushed, because they knew really that at this stage of the season, a draw against Southampton wouldn't be good enough.
No.
But I think Hasenhüttl has done a good job at Southampton, and I think they look completely different to the predecessor, Mark Hughes. But I don't think, watching that game, I felt that they really believed they could win it.
No.
And I don't think they ever thought for 1 minute that 1-0 was going to be enough.
Yeah.
And then, of course, as soon as they conceded the equaliser, which came, in the middle, just before half-time or whatever it was, they didn't really look like they were going to do much. Which is a shame, because they've been vastly improved under Hasenhüttl, who I think has done a good job. And I think he might... I'm not suggesting they're going to finish anything above 7th next season, which is the ceiling for all those teams. But I think they could be vastly improved next year. I do.
Also, it's a difficult match to go into for Southampton, because obviously you're playing against a brilliant Liverpool team who are flying high, and they also feature some of your own best players. So that's kind of difficult.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
It's an interesting running with Liverpool, isn't it? But the way that Liverpool do have that in them, in that they can concede, that is why people are sort of... Well, that's why the odds for the Man City's quadruple are so short.
Quintuple.
Yeah, because they've got their charity.
But Liverpool have got the best defence in the Premier League overall.
Do they not look a little bit shaky, though, at this point in the season, compared to Man City?
They haven't kept a clean sheet for about a month or so in the league. Mm. So there is that. But, I mean, up until not that long ago, their defensive record was absolutely incredible, wasn't it? And then they had that mad 4-3 against Palace. And you thought, okay, they've kind of righted the ship again, because they went 3-0 Bournemouth, 0-0 Bayern Munich, 0-0 United, 5-0 Watford, 0-0 Everton, keeping clean sheets in all those games. And since then, they've not kept a clean sheet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you probably expect that, given the run in, the pressure's on, it's going to get harder. They've obviously got the Champions League to think about. They've got Chelsea in the league next. To be honest, after they play Chelsea at home, if they get through that game with a win...
Cardiff
away, Huddersfield at home, Newcastle away, Wolves at home...
I mean, that is about as easy as it could possibly get, realistically.
You take it. Especially with Newcastle in there, Pete.
I mean, they weren't great at the weekend. They were relatively okay at the weekend. Just they conceded a silly penalty at the end. Do you think they're going to go all guns blazing tomorrow and just kind of try for a big win at home against Porto, and then the pressure's off the second leg? They could possibly rest players, bang on the bench for the running.
Played them in the knockouts last season, didn't they? Beat them 5-0 in the first leg, I think.
I think they probably will try and repeat that, just because Anfield on a European night is such an incredible thing. But at the same time, I think it would have to be a 5-0 for them to rest players in the second leg. I don't think they would.
But do you know what? With Liverpool, they're quite a special case, because when we have these conversations about teams would rather do this or rather do that, and I don't think in Liverpool's case you'll find anyone who supports Liverpool who won't agree that they want to win the Premier League. It's not a case of, with Man City, of course, their priority, if they could take the choice, they'd probably choose the Champions League, right? Yeah. Because that's one big thing they want to win.
Yeah.
Liverpool is unquestionably the Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they get into a situation where in the second leg against Porto, they've picked up a few injuries, they've got Cardiff away, I think 4 days later as things are currently scheduled, I can see them prioritising the league, you know. Mm. Because if they get a 2-0 against Porto at home, I think Porto are a bit underrated. I haven't seen an awful lot of them. We've heard about them on the continent, and the guys seem to think that they're a better proposition than perhaps some people think. Of course, they're in the quarterfinal, by the way, so they've done enough to get there. But I just think Liverpool are desperate to win the Premier League, and I'm not the only person that thinks that, obviously. So it wouldn't be a huge surprise for me if they were to sacrifice it at the behest of the Premier League. Don't forget, they went out of the FA Cup in the third round.
Yeah.
You know, and it served them in pretty good stead ever since, you could argue. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of it.
Yeah. I didn't even want to go out here anyway.
Yeah.
You can have your Champions League.
Yeah, my Champions League winner's medal goes to another school, actually.
Jurgen Klopp once again refusing to rule out managing Bayern in the future. Obviously, he's.
But he did say that my work here isn't finished. Yeah. And I'm under contract and all the rest of it.
Maybe. I mean, he's at the end of the season when they win the league.
I sometimes feel that with managers, and this is different to the Eden Hazard situation, because Eden Hazard, every time he's asked about Real Madrid, and of course we've seen some headlines.
Yes,
this morning,
please.
He just got goes. Oh no! Oh no! Yeah. Why would I ever think about doing that?
Play for one of the best teams in the world.
But with Jurgen Klopp, he's not good. He's obviously German. And he
is violently German. Yeah.
He's one of the most German people I've ever seen. And very rarely do you get people who are just a little bit German.
Yeah.
It's like the French. They're all really French. Mm. But anyway, that's another story.
Oh, I was in Toulouse over the weekend. Peaky Blinders very much has reached that particular country.
Yeah.
Le Peaky Blinder!
Did you
fight? Fighting at me. Peaky Blinder!
Were you wearing one of those caps?
No, it's dad must stupid.
One of those Baker Boy caps.
Right wing haircut.
What were you doing in Toulouse?
Eating soup. Eating French onion soup, but over there they call it onion soup.
Yeah.
Mm. It's good.
Seriously, what were you doing over there?
Drinking.
Okay. But the Jurgen Klopp point is just that Bayern Munich are the biggest club in Germany, and saying he refuses to rule it out. I mean, the only way he can rule it out is by saying, I will never manage there.
Yeah,
and of course, he, in 10 years' time, he might want to manage there.
Yeah.
So he can only give the answer he can give, right?
He's a young manager. He's got a long managerial career ahead of him.
He's got a lot of teeth, Jurgen Klopp.
He does. And they've definitely magnificent things as well.
They've definitely been new.
What's happened is, he's had a load of those teeth put in,
and they've
got drunk on power. He's just not stopped. It's Friday afternoon. I'm going to put four extra in there. It's so many.
Too many teeth.
I really don't think Klopp would leave Liverpool if they won the league this season.
Well, he'd like to bask in the glory.
I think if he won the league with Liverpool, the next project would be win the Champions League with them, because they have a history of doing that, and it's one of those few clubs where you can realistically aim at that.
Why not do both at the same time?
Well, I mean, that might be a big ask for anybody, but we'll see.
More than he can chew with those teeth.
Well, no, I don't think there's anything he can't chew.
He's bitten off exactly the right amount he can definitely chew,
which is loads.
Yeah.
Also, the Premier League, Huddersfield Town 1, Leicester City 4. Leicester City are looking like a completely different animal in many ways. Has Brendan Rodgers got them firing? They look like a really good counter-attacking team.
They
again.
Really do. I mean, they're up in seventh, so they're top of that other little league. And also, they weren't doing badly under Claude Puel. They were just playing drab football. And I wonder, does this make them a more appealing prospect for potential signings in the summer? Because Leicester, obviously they're a fun club to be around. We've all seen that it's pretty much always dramatic and fun there, and that's probably what did for Puel.
Yeah, that's what footballers want. They just want a fun place to be.
You know what I mean, though? It's like you're going to go there and be able to express yourself, and the quality of players that they suit the type of game that Leicester want to play probably are a bit more available to them now.
Is it an hour from Luton Airfield? That's the question for a lot of European footballers. How can I get to an airport really quick?
Not everyone wants to leave the country as often and as rapidly as possible like you.
Good point.
I'm running
away from my problems. My problems are here.
Some people like Leicester.
I lived there for 5 years, so yeah, I do.
I've been there twice. Yeah, I can't complain.
Was it for a comedy festival?
Yes, it was. Yeah, you were there one time.
That was.
I think with Rodgers, I mean, clearly he's done a decent job. I mean, it seemed like a nice fit for him when he first went there, didn't it?
Yeah.
With apologies to Celtic and how fuming they were about it. He lost his first game, I forget who it was against, but I think they've won every game since.
Yeah, they've gone on a hell of a run.
So they're doing very well. They've got Newcastle at home next.
That'll be six.
Salve to the wounds. Just when I was getting a little bit depressed, can I maintain this winning run? Yes, I can.
Both a day at work and a day off.
Yeah, they narrowly lost to Watford. That's it in this first game. And they've won four games in a row since Fulham, Burnley, Bournemouth and Huddersfield. Now, of course, maybe you'd say that's a bit of the old Solskjaer. You'd expect him to win it. But I think they've done well, and I think he's a really nice fit for them. I do. And Jan Sievert on the other side of the ticket. I mean, there's been talk that people aren't really happy with how harsh he's been. On the other hand, the team are absolutely fucking shit.
I know.
What's he supposed to do? Yeah. Well done, you're all doing a brilliant job.
Yeah. I do get the feeling that when a manager so young walks into a dressing room like that and sort of goes, you're all shit, and they're going, you didn't play football at any kind of level and you're 37. You're my age.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, I don't know.
That doesn't mean he can't be a good manager, does
it?
I
know, but it's the authority, though, isn't it? If you've got a misfiring dressing room where they're just not playing together, they're just...
Not misfiring, they're not even loaded the gun.
They're not even loaded.
They've lost all their guns.
Yeah.
They've put one of those locks on it to keep it safe from kids, and they've forgotten their combination.
I reckon they've handed their guns back.
Yeah.
To the opposition.
One of those moratorium
They've got cold dead hands.
Yeah. But the thing with Seaver and Huddersfield, for me, is that it got to the point where, because they stayed up last season, people were quite impressed by that and said they've done brilliantly. And we've talked on this show about how it was a bit of a holiday for them. But they've gone to such, they've gone, taken that to such a ridiculous degree that it's actually probably a little bit unacceptable now.
Yeah.
Because you'd expect you're at home, you've already been relegated against a team who are doing well and they've got a good manager and they've got some good players, but by no means infallible. You know, they're not a team who can't ever be, you know, beaten, because we've seen them be beaten. And now you've lost five Premier League games in a row. And it's a bit like, well, there is getting relegated, which is obviously absolutely fine for a team the size of Huddersfield in the top flight. But then there's sort of getting relegated in a certain way.
Yeah, getting humiliated.
Yeah, which is kind of what's happening now. And to lose 4-1 at home, I didn't see the game because I was, obviously, I've just watched the highlights. So apologies if it wasn't as 4-1 as it looked. They've got 14 points in the Premier League. I think Jan Sievert is within his rights to say, look, you've seen off another manager already. I know he had his own reasons, but he's gone, and he wouldn't have been gone possibly if it wasn't like that. And now you've thrown the towel in. I don't think he'd be any sort of professional if he wasn't angry with that, would he?
Yeah,
is that fair?
Not. He's not a caretaker manager, is he? He's a manager.
He's there for... But he will be there next season, won't he?
I think so.
It'd be a weird decision to sort of fire him now.
I've seen a couple of Huddersfield fans who I know say that they don't think it will last very long in the Championship, because it doesn't really seem to be too much direction now. They don't really know what they want to do next. Mm. So we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, it's a weird case to find yourself that adrift at the bottom of the Premier League table, even at this point of the season. Quick one on Everton versus Arsenal. Everton edging that one out. Mustafi, what is going on?
Yeah, as I said recently before this game, when there was a lot of talk of, like, oh, can Arsenal pip Spurs? There's a lot of Arsenal that you can put into seven games. And, I thought that was kind of like,
they obviously looked a lot better against Newcastle on Monday.
Yeah, it's the home form and the away form, though.
Yeah, but I think Arsenal's back four, I think, played pretty much the same. I just think that they looked very, very ordinary and looked really disjointed. Mm.
Well, they went in the back five.
Yeah.
But I think, you know,
they look like a back four.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose that's Mustafi
back
for
one.
You. But the Luka Dinyov throw was amazing. But Mustafi went for the first sort of bite of that cherry and then sort of switched off again. And it was just chaos in the box, and that should have been dealt with better. But I think a lot of credit has to go to Everton, firstly, because they've been a lot better recently. And I think Marco Silva set his team up very, very well, and they were very disciplined. And they did the opposite of what we've been criticising them for a lot of the season, which was to actually not just like go hell for leather.
Yeah.
And they did a very good job of containment, which Arsenal helped with by being a bit sort of unimaginative. And I wonder if Torreira's absence made a big difference there, because that was his last game of his ban, and Elneny came in and he hasn't played a lot this season, which isn't ideal. And yeah, it's a frustrating one. I think that they haven't got a clean sheet this season on the road, which is Ipswich, the only other team to be in that situation as well. And there's clearly a lot more work to be done to change the culture of the club, where this away form is so spectacularly different from the home form.
I think that's nail on the head, the last point you made there. What Emery's trying to do, and I think he's done a good job this season. He can't do it all in one season. I think he's done well. What he's trying to do is change the culture of a club. I mean, last season in the Premier League, it was scandalous how bad they were away from home. They were awfully bad, like so bad for a club of that size. Yeah. And it's kind of more of the same this year. I haven't got the stats in front of me, but I'd be surprised if they haven't been improved this year than last year compared on the way.
I don't have the stats.
They only won one away from home
last
season, didn't they, or something like that?
I think that might have been in the start of the calendar year.
Right, okay.
I'm not sure, but it was very, very bad. It's not great this season. It is better, but it absolutely has to improve. It has to. And the thing is, Arsenal really need to finish in the top four this season to remedy that. Because you would think Mustafi would probably leave, given he is a bit of a lightning rod. You never know. But the thing is, Arsenal are in a situation where they've got to bring a big character into that defence, because Koscielny's the best defender by a mile, but he's not got that much left in the tank. Sokratis has been good, but he's better with someone leading beside him. They need to find a gem somewhere that can come in and lead and change the character of that back four.
Mm. Oh, absolutely. But I also think it's a mentality situation. I think, I don't want to sort of over egg the pudding, but I think it was an absolute boys club under Wenger towards the end.
Perhaps.
And I think that the way that manifests itself is, of course, a team of Arsenal's resources and their players are always going to be able to beat an average team at home, because it's just, I mean, they're Arsenal, right? So they can do that. When it gets hard, when it goes away, when you're expected to do other things that you're not expected to do at home, because away from home, you've got to really give it some. You've got to break down a team, or you've got to, not break down a team, I suppose, but you've got to deal with a team's threat and then threaten yourself, which makes it harder. They just can't do it.
It's pure mentality, isn't it?
It's going to take Emery a while to inject that in them, I think. Mm. I think as good as Wenger was and as amazing as he's been for English football, towards the end, it was a little bit scandalous, really. And Emery's going to take a while to sort it out. Mm. And, you know, bringing in key personnel is part of that. And it's an absolute crime, by the way, that Mustafi was trying to force a move away from Arsenal. They should have driven him to the airport themselves. Yeah. He's an absolute embarrassment.
If he was a horse, you can't sell him to a horse racing team of a much lower level.
Yeah,
probably,
I agree,
for a loss.
But Jim, you said to me yesterday you think Mustafi's the worst defender in the Premier League.
I actually do. Yeah. I've said this on the
but
show
I can't,
before.
The thing is, I can't argue with
the
it.
Thing is,
I want to say that's just your emotional fan side talking. Yeah, maybe but I can't argue with it.
I've not looked at all the blocked stats and this stat and that stat, and because I think he's particularly good at blocks. Actually,
I've seen him block himself though. That's the problem.
But like, I mean, would he improve Fulham? Would he improve Huddersfield? Because a lot that he has a rick in him in pretty much every game, and when he does it, he shouts at the nearest person. It's like
I think he might improve for them, to be fair.
Do you remember Wiggly Gigglies?
No.
It was like a little toy. It was like a weird sort of egg-shaped toy with a little rock inside, like a heavy weight. And when you rolled it, it would sort of list from side to side, and it would
We didn't call them that, though.
I thought this was some
Sort of... Well, the Bandai Corporation called them the Wiggly Gigglies, I believe.
We call them Weebles. Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
No, they're different. That's like a weighted thing that comes up every now and again. Yeah. This is a thing that would, if you rolled it along the floor, it would never keep a straight line. A Wiggly Giggly. Mm. He looks like he's controlling a Wiggly Giggly a lot of the time.
That was quite pained, really.
Wiggly Gigglies. Yeah. Sponsored by Wiggly Gigglies. Right, we'll be back very, very soon with more chat about football, specifically the EFL Championship. That's what we're doing next. See you then.
When I switched, there was cameras everywhere. Flash, flash, flash. Mate, it was amazing.
Ah. Cole and Owen together at last, like nuts and gum.
Could Joe Cole be the solution to England's left-sided problem?
Maybe.
He's actually not a bad pundit, by the way, Cole.
No.
Yeah, I quite enjoy
it. Which is interesting. I'm really surprised by that, because I remember hearing that Carlo Ancelotti basically bombed him out of Chelsea because he just didn't understand his instructions. So to see that he's actually quite a good analyst.
Kind of Emery with Ramsey.
I don't know about that.
That's the rumour.
Got very confused.
Tell you who else is a brilliant pundit is Liam Rossini. As well.
Yeah.
Lee Rose in your son. Mm. I saw him at the weekend. He was very good.
Yeah. I got really confused with the Everton Arsenal dugout. Very physically, very similar managers.
Yeah.
I could only tell because obviously one has a red tie on. Fine.
When Mustafi did that completely unnecessary foul at one point and caused a bit of a ruckus, Mesut Ozil threw his jacket at the Everton bench.
Yes.
Such a sort of limp.
What? The one thing you're going to get angry about is that. Hopefully he's angry with Mustafi. Because that was, honestly, I know we've already
Maybe
talked
that's
about
it.
Him.
Just cover him up.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. To be honest, no, look, cover the Everton. You don't need to see this. This is a crime.
This is horrible.
That was so bad. Mm.
We played for Everton.
It was so slow. It was so slow. You could see what was it Walcott? No, it wasn't Walcott. It was Calvert-Lewin, wasn't it? You could see who had a good game, by the way.
Yes, indeed.
You could see what Calvert-Lewin was trying to do, and it still took Mustafi a good few seconds to brain to process what was happening. And
he's on the move.
I know the laws of the game say otherwise, but I think you can make a decent, that should have been a red card. It's so late, it's so off the ball. It was obviously halting a potentially damaging attack.
Yeah.
I just felt like I didn't want to see him anymore.
Well, you know how I feel about professional fouls. I think they should be straight reds every time.
In situations like that, I feel like there should be a card where the referee goes, look, sorry, Unai, but you have to sell this player now.
That would have been handed out on the first match he played.
Emery would have presumably been fine with that. But the... to me, there should be a card which says, I just don't want to look at you anymore.
It's the kind of stand in the corner flag, face the crowd.
Get out of my sight.
Yeah,
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
So the Football Rumble sponsored by Bet365 will be here on Thursday once again. Luke, how did our best better get on?
Badly, because the best bet was Leicester to win to nil, and Huddersfield are so annoying, they can't even do that. So they scored a goal, which meant the bet wasn't a winner. So we'll be looking for another one on Thursday. Show at thefootballramble.com with best bet in the subject line.
Yeah, I believe there was a young lad who, I think it was undergoing some kind of cancer treatment, who's lost all of his hair, obviously, because of the chemo, and he visited Huddersfield Town to watch Moy for the first time.
I think she may have been a little girl, if I heard right in the commentary.
I didn't see any of this. Well, it's very, news to very me.
Should watch the crowd more, shouldn't you?
I should.
Nothing interesting on the pitch in that match.
Sorry, not Huddersfield.
So in the Championship, Aston Villa scored two goals in stoppage time at Sheffield Wednesday to win a sixth straight Championship game. They are going great guns at the moment, Aston Villa.
At a good time.
Yes. At a good time, and it's all about momentum. We always say this every single week. How many matches have we got left? 5 matches. Oh, I could see them.
I remember being on the radio when Aston Villa. I think it was the Friday night game, and it was at the start of February, and Sheffield United were 3-0 up at Villa Park with 10 minutes to go, and Aston Villa came back and drew 3-3, and it was kind of like, wow, this is really going to galvanise their season. Weirdly, they then lost the next two games and drew the one after that. And they found themselves playing Birmingham in the second City derby, as we saw, and what happened with Grealish and all the rest of it. And I was on the radio that day as well, and someone said, I forget who it was. Oh look, they don't win this game against Birmingham, they can wave goodbye to their playoff hopes. They've messed it up. It's not going to happen. They won that game, of course. They've won every game since, and they are, as Jim's just said, it's a very roundabout way for me of saying that they play Rotherham next. And they've got two or three home games left, and I think they've got a really good chance of getting the playoffs. And the team that's so big in terms of their history and the size of club, they've got a really good chance. Because I think if Leeds drop into it, as they have done, and they stay there because they've lost two of their last three, they're going to be so disappointed. West Brom are in a bit of a state of flux. I know they've been decent since they got rid of Darren Moore, annoyingly for the rest of us who thought that was a stranger decision. And I think they've got the better in Bristol City, who seem to have had a bit of a wobble themselves. Only won two of the last six. Villa have got a good chance of coming up through the playoffs, is what I'm saying. I genuinely think they have, and I was impressed with them because against Sheffield Wednesday, I think that's the first game Steve Bruce has lost at Wednesday.
Yeah.
And they were 1-0 with a few minutes left or something, weren't they? And I thought, you think, oh, that's a good point for them, Nat. Nat, they scored two goals late on, and they've well firmly ensconced in fifth now. Probably not going to catch third or fourth now. They definitely won't catch third.
No.
But if they're in the playoffs picture, I think they're going to have a good chance of going up. I do.
I was quite enjoying how Steve Bruce has managed Rolando Ahrens, the Newcastle United left winger. I think he's still on loan there. Steve Bruce,
you'd have him back, wouldn't you?
Oh, we got another underwhelming left winger in the shape of Christian Atsu, so it's all right. We're fine. We're sorted for that kind of thing. So, it's another weekend. Derby's Duane Holmes, Wigan's Nathan Byrne, Palace's Wilfried Zaha, and the Northampton Town squad in its entirety racially abused within 24 hours. It almost seems born to mention it, but obviously there has to be reasons that we have to mention it. But it's just another weekend in football. It just doesn't seem to be getting any less acceptable. It's just not getting any. It's not getting any better anytime soon.
Well, I think it is right to mention it again because as we keep hearing from,
but it's every weekend,
players,
Jim, isn't it?
Exactly. And the problem is it's become too normalised and seemingly very quickly as well since it's kind of been back in the news cycle, and it has to change, and whatever has been done to change it isn't working. You know, obviously there's been strange messaging with Kick It Out and the FA's new proposal to tackle it. And I mean, as players say, you know, clubs get fined and nothing really happens, and you know, you get fans here and there banned and nothing else really happens. It absolutely needs to change. And I think if we may skip ahead to Gordon Strachan, the comments he made over the weekend, where he was talking about the Adam Johnson situation, and if someone in the crowd were to abuse him, would the players have to walk off? I mean, that is so wrong-headed. And
I think with Gordon, I mean, it's just a confused old man talking shite.
But one of the constants in football is old men. You know, you're going to have ex-pros, you're going to have ex-managers that are pundits and people that are in the game, and that's fine. They obviously bring a lot to it. But is there an argument now that if you've got someone saying like that on TV, saying something like that on 2019...
Feeling comfortable expressing those views, I guess.
Do there need to be educational programmes in place?
For how we talk
about... For broadcasters,
yeah, for how broadcasters talk about racism,
so I think that's a decent point, actually. But the Strachan thing is
it's an outlier.
Man, confused man gets confused on TV, right? That and there should be fail safes in place to stop that happening. Clearly, what he said was potentially very damaging, and
we didn't see I didn't see the challenge. I didn't see what happened after that. Just the hilarious silence that could it was. Well,
he's more than likely going to pay with his job for that. Mm. I don't think anyone is seriously suggesting that he's either a racist or an endorser of paedophilia. So, I think in a way that's kind of a bit of a red herring to the actual issue.
Yes.
Which to me it feels that it's one of education, it's one of funding. And it's one of
society, presumably, as well. Political populism and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, because you'd have to argue that given it's such a large spectator sport, it's a reflection of society at large.
Usually.
And we've talked, by the way, not that I'm saying this is a serious because it isn't, but it is part of the same conversation. We've talked fairly consistently over the years in this studio about the behaviour of people at football grounds in general. And what happens is these kind of people these edgelord kind of guys on the internet, like, they're just challenging each other to go one bit further and say things more outrageous with the readily available alcohol and recreational drugs, all that kind of stuff.
And if you don't like it, you know, just being ironic. Get over yourself.
And the reason I bring that up is because I believe I'm right in saying Nathan Byrne, the Wigan player, I think was racially abused on Twitter.
Yes.
And I think there's been an arrest made because of that. As
a kid handed himself in.
Right, okay. So it's happening all over the place, not just through football stadiums. Yeah. It's a reflection of society more widely. But the stat that I read last week, which blew my mind, I can't actually find it in front of me, but it was something along the lines of, look at the amount of money that Premier League clubs spent on agents last season.
Yeah.
And look at the amount of money that was given to Kick It Out.
250 million, wasn't it?
And the Kick It Out thing was something like 1% of that. It was scandalously low. So there needs to be some leadership on this. There needs to be some more holistic punishment. There needs to be a more holistic view of it. But there needs to be some leadership on it. And if it doesn't happen, it's just going to keep getting worse. And what also needs to happen is the punishments need to be more severe. I know that's not the solution. I know heavily punishing things for people for all sorts of different reasons in society, for crime, whatever. There's no link between punishment and deterring of crime. But in this case, in this particular instance, it's going to set an example. It's going to make people think again. Now, I know that's not going to stop racism, but it's part of the problem.
Clubs have a duty of care to their players, first and foremost, and to a secondary members of, I think, minorities that are supporters as well. I sort of think when all this was kicking off in the 80s, and obviously it's a very different world now, what were people in my position doing? And that's what worries me, that I'm not doing something, even though I find the whole thing baffling. I don't really have a take on it that's going to suggest any solutions. Yeah. So I worry that I'm letting the people who are listening to the Football Ramble down by not being able to help in any way. And that's the thing. It just makes me sad.
Because we can do a certain amount of things. We can speak out about it on this show. We can challenge it when we see it, which can be hard to do when you're outnumbered and all the rest of it. But I've witnessed fans be ejected for racist abuse. I've witnessed it with my own eyes. I know friends who have complained about it and had people removed. That's a very, very small part of the solution, though. Mm. And what needs to happen is the football itself needs to take a huge amount of leadership on it. And an example would be Gordon Taylor, the outgoing union chief, who gets paid millions and millions and millions a year. And the guy who comes in to replace him will be paid millions and millions and millions a year. What are they doing? They're supposed to be representing the players. So you talk about the players being guaranteed not to be racially abused at their place of work. Surely the head of the union can take a leadership role in that. Surely the clubs themselves can take more of a leadership role. I mean, it may take something really drastic. It may take a club to say, do you know what? Last season, some of our players were racially abused playing against your team. We're not fulfilling the fixture.
Yeah.
And of course, they'll have to take some sort of interim, short-term punishment for that. But not a single soul is going to blame him for it. Mm. And there'll be a groundswell of opinion. Yeah. And what that'll be is a trigger event towards hopefully getting it sorted. But again, that's only going to stop racism in stadiums. It's not going to stop racism because racism starts when people aren't educated properly and when they're not brought up properly by their parents and kind of things like that, I'd say.
Yeah. And when the political landscape allows that kind of opinion, we got Tommy Robinson in the square doing speeches in front of his people on a Brexit
at Westminster.
I
remember having a conversation,
and it's just normal now. It's just something we've got to do.
I remember having a conversation with someone who listened to our show about Tommy Robinson on Twitter a few years ago, trying to talk him out of his opinion that he was just a good guy, you know, he's this, that, and the other. Mm. And it's very difficult to change a person's mind. It's very difficult to get through to people,
and they are in the minority in our listenership.
Of course, absolutely.
If you're a racist, don't listen to our show. I don't want you to listen. So don't.
Right.
Okay,
well,
good. Let's move
all right,
on.
Then, let's move on. Let's have a bit of a WhatsApp action.
We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Wayne Rooney was sent off for the first time in his MLS career for a, I'm going to say, robust challenge.
I'm going to say horrendous, because that's what I've got written down here.
VAR got him in the end. He got a yellow, but VAR reversed it, or rather, I guess, accelerated it towards red town.
For those of you who've got more in their lives than seeking out Wayne Rooney playing in MLS.
He's having a lovely time.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Mm. He's got a few days off now. it was a shin high, sort of studs up kind of lunge. Mm. Didn't look great, really. Mm.
Steam Train Rooney is something we've not seen in a while.
No.
I don't know what happened before that side tackle, but I'm almost certain he'd lost the ball. Because that's what I used to do back in the day.
As he walked off, I'm pretty sure he said to the coach, I told you I still got the fire in me, Benny. Do not doubt me.
A devil is coming.
Yeah, a devil is arriving.
Lovely scenes. Ronaldinho's son has signed a pro contract with Cruzeiro. He looks like Ronaldinho without the teeth.
Keep an eye on the work rate.
One
thing I will respect, and I read this in the story that reported that he had signed, is that when he first arrived at the club, he didn't tell anyone who his dad was. He's of course got a different name.
Nice.
And so he was trying to get there on merit.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that lasted, but everyone certainly knows who his dad is now. But he does look a bit like his dad. Yeah. He's got better dental work, though.
It was like Tino's, that bloke who's got a second name, Asprea. Yeah. And everyone thinks it's Tino's son.
It's not.
I reckon he just adopted that.
Bloody wish I was.
Yeah. I bloody wish I was. Yeah. I think it's because last week I think he scored a goal and then he did quite a similar kind of Tino kind of cartwheel celebration.
It's like Leeds have got that player called Ronaldo Vieira.
Yes.
That's a lot to live up to.
He's on loan somewhere else now, I think. I think he might have gone to Spain. Is he not in Sampdoria now? Yeah, he's at Sampdoria.
But good luck to him. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. He can always trade off that name. Luke, we've got a set of shows that are you're able to listen to them right now if you fancy it.
He signed for Sampdoria on a perm. I just checked. Yeah, we've got 12 Eggs of Easter. The first one came out today. It's celebrating our favourite eggs and their contribution to the game.
Eggs.
Leading up to Good Friday. So every day between now and Good Friday, there are going to be 12 egg-related shows. The first one's Bobby Charlton. You'll be able to find that in your feed now. I'm not going to tell you tomorrow's is. You have to wait and see.
No, I can't remember.
No, nor can I.
Our brains were addled with so many egg jokes.
Scrambled.
And that's why I'm not going to tell them either. But yeah, check it out. 12 Eggs of Easter. Get involved. Tell us what you think. Suggest some eggs of your own, perhaps. Mm. Spread the good word. And also, don't forget, tickets for our live shows are selling fast. I believe that the stalls in both the London shows we've announced are now sold out. So if you want to move quick. RambleLive.com.
Oh, sorry, RambleLive.com.
Yeah, and if you can't come to the London show because it's sold out, which it will do probably in the next week or so.
Drive to New York.
Well, yeah, could drive to New York. We've got a show at Hayes, just outside of London, and one or two others dotted around. Northampton's not too far away, so there's going to be options there for you. RambleLive.com, get your tickets now. They're very competitively priced for the extravaganza you'll receive in return. Hey, Pete Donaldson?
I'm learning fire tricks as we speak.
There we go, fire poi.
yes, I'd love a bit of that. That'd be amazing. Yeah. Well, it's been real, it's been emotional. Guys, thank you for doing the Football Ramble with me and putting up with my sub-optimal presentation.
Who's the guy
style.
That used to present this, Jim? I can't remember.
Yeah. I think he's dead.
Hairy boy. Oh, he'll be sweating out there, won't he?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, Mexico in April.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.